Good afternoon, everybody. Today I'd like to talk with you about some exploratory work my research team is doing about employees' perceptions of evidence-based approaches to wellness in low-wage industries. And what you see here and what you'll see sprinkled throughout the presentation are photographs of some of the employees and workplaces where we do our work. My co-authors and I don't really have any relationships to disclose. And here's a list of the collaborators on this work. So I have several collaborators at the Health Promotion Research Center, the American Cancer Society, and Public Health Seattle and King County. Our work was supported by Public Health Seattle and King County through a grant they had for communities putting prevention to work, which was kind of what came right before the community transformation grant that was referenced in an earlier talk. Accept or decline? What do you all think? Okay, maybe I'll go away. And then we had some additional support from the Health Promotion Research Center and the National Cancer Institute. And I would like to specifically thank the 15 employers and employees who participated in this study. So I'll talk about why are we studying this issue about employee perceptions of wellness programs at this point in time. And then I'll describe our study methods, our key results, some of the implications of our findings, and some future research. So why measure employees' perceptions of wellness programs? At this point, you hear a lot about wellness generating return on investment or changing health outcomes. It might seem like we're taking a step back to say, do employees notice this and do they appreciate it? So why would we do that? And the reason is, well, first of all, there's still some controversy over whether these programs really do change health outcomes or healthcare costs. And a lot of the data that's generated comes out of large employers. It's very, very hard, sometimes impossible, for smaller employers to generate the types of data that would allow us to answer the question of, is the company actually making money off doing wellness? But there are a lot of other potential positive outcomes that would really make a difference to employers and their workforce, and these could include things like improved employee morale or improved employee productivity. And one thing that really sort of got me inspired to go back to this project and do some of the analyses I'll present to you is another project that came out of my group where we did a cross-sectional survey of Washington State employees. And we looked at this interesting item on our survey of my employer supports me in living a healthy life. And what we found was that how people answered that question was associated with their productivity, not their absenteeism, which is the blue line on the bottom that the arrow is conveniently pointing to, which is flat. So it didn't matter in terms of absenteeism how they answered that question. But for presenteeism, all right, and despite the sound of it, presenteeism is bad. It means that you are at work, but you are not fully functional, and it's expressed here as a percent. We saw the people who said, I'm almost never supported in health at work, reported twice as much presenteeism as employees who said they almost always felt supported at work in their health. So we thought, huh, that's really interesting. And that held up when we controlled for their general health status, their depression and stress, and their health behaviors. That was still there. But it's cross-sectional, right? So, you know, we don't know what this had to do with what their employer was actually doing about wellness. It could be that people who are very productive just see everything through rose-colored glasses. So I got very interested in, can an employer actually do something about this perception of worksite support for health? So let me talk a little bit about how we decided we could start exploring that question. We developed an intervention called Health Links with the American Cancer Society. This is distinct from Colorado Health Links for those of you who are familiar with that program. We developed this for small employers with 20 to 250 workers, and the intervention focuses on four behaviors: cancer screening, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco cessation. And what we really have tried to do with this intervention is take evidence-based interventions from the Guide to Community Preventive Services and put them into a package that makes sense to a small employer and that has a lot of turnkey tools that an employer can use. And staff from the American Cancer Society delivers health links to the employer and employees at the worksite for free, usually over a period of about 6 months. So the context for this was a larger study in South Seattle and South King County, and the main goal of the overall parent study was just to deliver health links to a lot of work sites and help them to improve the work site level implementation of evidence-based programs, policies, and communications. So in the large study, we had almost 50 work sites who did health links. In 15 of those work sites, we also collected data from the employees at baseline and follow-up, and we had about 700 employees do baseline surveys and a little over 600 do follow-up surveys across those 15 work sites. So our timeline was we did a survey with the employer at baseline where we were really measuring their current wellness practices, what were they doing before we started doing anything. And then we surveyed the employees of these 15 work sites. And the key measures in the employee surveys were we asked very specific questions around whether specific wellness practices were in place at their work site. We asked this question about, does your work site support you in living a healthy life? And we also looked at their productivity using the workplace productivity and activity impairment questionnaire. Then we delivered health links to them over about 6 months, and then we did follow-up surveys both with the employers and with the employees at the end. So let me talk a little bit about the results. And all of the results I'm going to present here today are just for those 15 work sites where we had employee survey data. So the employers, we had a variety of industries represented. A lot of healthcare and social services, we find that those are just the most eager to do this sort of thing when we try to work with small employers. But we also had education, leisure and hospitality, and a few one-offs from other industries like arts, entertainment, and recreation. About 9 of them had fewer than 100 employees, and then 6 had more than 100. Their employees were about two-thirds female, and particularly for the Seattle area, a pretty racially diverse group with 45% non-white of various racial and ethnic backgrounds. So first of all, did we actually change their wellness practices? And we score the employer from 0 to 100%. They could be doing absolutely nothing we recommend, or they could be doing 100% of what we recommend. And we saw basically that their implementation doubled. So they were only doing about a quarter of what we recommend at baseline and almost 50% at follow-up. So there was a big improvement, but there was still quite a ways to go in terms of doing all of the best practices we were promoting. Now, what we saw on the employee surveys was we did see increases on almost everything we asked about. So, for example, the employees perceived more communication about each of the 4 health behaviors that we were trying to intervene on at follow-up than they did at baseline. We also saw that when we asked about specific programs, and here we were just asking, is this present at your work site, yes or no, we found big jumps in the proportion of employees who reported that their work site was doing a physical activity program or that their work site actually was promoting the tobacco state quit line. And then we saw increases in perceived support for health. So this was sort of our key question, was could employers change this? And at baseline, about 41% of the employees either disagreed with this statement or they were neutral. And by follow-up, we saw that that dropped to 30%, with 70% of employees agreeing or strongly agreeing that their work site supported their health. Because we knew which work site the employees came from, we were able to actually map changes in that perception of employees within a given work site with changes in what the work site actually implemented from baseline to follow-up. And what we saw was that the work sites who had made the most changes, the most increase in what they implemented in the gray bars, also had employees who had the biggest change in their perception of support for a healthy life. Does that make sense? Okay. So that was really cool. So the answer was yes. Employers actually can change their employees' perception of worksite support for health. And then just like in the survey I showed you in the background, we saw that employees' perception of support for health at their worksite was associated with presenteeism. So we saw higher presenteeism rates at baseline and at follow-up among employees who disagreed that they were supported in their health, and the lowest presenteeism rates among employees who agreed. Although, interestingly here, the big drop comes between disagree and neutral. So it's almost like a close relationship. It's not so important what's positive. It's like having less negativity. As long as you don't actively think your workplace is sabotaging your health, you seem to be doing better on presenteeism. So just to quickly wrap up, let's talk about the implications of this. Again, I think this is positive. This is based on 15 small employers over only a six-month period, so I don't want to oversell this and say we've definitively answered our question. But we certainly got very promising evidence from this study that small employers' wellness efforts in fairly low-resource contexts are, first of all, noticed by their employees. This is salient to them. It did appear to increase employees' perceived worksite support for their health, which is positive. And this suggests that wellness programs might have benefits even if participation isn't uniform among employees, or even if health behaviors among employees aren't appearing to change right away. There's just this sense that, you know, well, okay, my employer is really trying to help me, and that appears to be a good thing, even if people aren't changing along with it right away. So for future research, we're doing a randomized controlled trial of the HealthLinks intervention. We just finished recruitment, and I could talk all day about what that was like to try to recruit people for this study, but we did get almost 80 employers to enroll. We're very excited because we're going to follow these employers for 2 years, and all of them are going to provide employee surveys. And they had to provide the baseline employee surveys for us to allow them to participate, so we know they can all do it. We're going to collect some broader support for health measures rather than just that one global item. We'll also look at job satisfaction in this study, and we will, again, measure productivity. And I'm optimistic that that will give us a much firmer answer to the questions that I've presented here. So thank you all very much for your attention. And I'm happy to talk to anybody when the session's over, but if you don't get to or a question comes to you later, here's my contact information. Thank you all very much.